KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory today. Today, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy. Today, northwest winds 20 knots in the morning, becoming variable 10, seas 3 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 1 foot. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef. Today, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, west winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon. Today, northwest winds 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable 10. Seas 6 feet with snow and rain. Tonight, south winds 15 knots, becoming north after midnight. Seas 4 feet with snow and rain. And Thursday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef. Today, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet with snow and rain. Tonight, west winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas at 5 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, numerous snow showers in the morning, then numerous snow showers and rain showers in the afternoon. Snow accumulation can be up to 3 inches. Highs in the mid-30s. West winds 15 miles an hour with gusts to 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Scattered snow showers and rain showers in the evening, then scattered snow showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 20s, west winds 15 miles an hour. And Thursday, partly sunny, isolated snow showers in the morning, highs in the 30s, northwest winds 15 miles an hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 1:32 a.m. at 5 foot 9 inches, a low tide at 7:29 a.m. at 1 foot 6 inches, a high tide at 1:21 p.m. at 5 foot 9 inches, and a low tonight at 7:40 at 4 inches. Your sun rose at 7:51 this morning, and your sun will set at 9:36, giving us 13 hours and 45 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, there was a fire in a warehouse on Borka Drive Monday night. No injuries were reported. And a $300,000 grant to the Museum of the Aleutians was cut last week. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region, and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. The Unalaska Fire Department extinguished a fire in a Unalashka Corporation warehouse Monday night. No injuries were reported. The warehouse on Borka Drive is home to Marty's Sari Sari store, a popular Filipino-owned convenience shop. It also serves as a storage space for the regional Alaska Native Corporation. Unalashka Corporation CEO Natalie Kale commended the fire department for their work.
The Unalaska Fire Department did an amazing job. They reached out to OC, shortly after the initial call, and we had staff that were able to meet them.
Public safety officials responded to reports of smoke coming from the front door of the building around midnight. Firefighters arrived shortly afterward and contained the blaze. The fire was declared under control about an hour and a half after they received the call. The city said in a press release that crews found heavy fire conditions within the first floor convenience store. The fire also extended into the second store of the building. In a Facebook post, store owner Marty Diaz says they will be closed temporarily for repairs. Diaz writes, "We are okay, just a little shaken for the time being." The Museum of the Aleutian cares for some of the Unalashka Corporation's archaeological collections that are housed in the building. The fire's cause is under investigation. Unalaska's Museum of the Aleutians lost a major funding source last week due to budget cuts at the national level. Museum staff learned via a letter from the National Endowment for the Humanities that more than $300,000 in grant money had been canceled. They've already spent some of those funds and aren't sure if the money will be reimbursed. The Museum of the Aleutians is among thousands of other educational and cultural institutions across the country affected by this particular wave of grant cancellations. The grant termination letter sent to the museum stated that the elimination of the funding was, quote, necessary to safeguard the interests of the federal government, including its fiscal priorities. Jenny Hatfield leads the Museum of the Aleutians. She sat down with KUCB's Andy Lusk Sunday afternoon to talk about the impact this loss is expected to have on programming and personnel. Note, this conversation happened before the city council heard local nonprofit grant application presentations.
We have a three-year grant. We were almost done with the first year. The first year of that grant would have been May 31st. And this grant funded, you know, quite a few personnel positions and a lot of partnerships, including KUCB. And it was a bit of a shocker to have it terminated just because the administration that is currently in office decided we should have a change. So it was very disappointing and very saddening that happened on the 3rd, although the grant was terminated on the 2nd.
And in the letter that you received letting you know that this grant had been terminated, what was the rationale for the cuts they made?
Basically, to sum up, it was changing priorities of the president. So this administration doesn't want to fund all of the things that prior administrations agreed to.
And what are some of the projects that the museum is maybe no longer able to do or has to do in a reduced form from here?
Yeah, we have two that were directly impacted. So the big one is this National Endowment for Humanities grant that we had called Sharing Voices that would have analyzed a large collection coming back from Rees Bay. So the Rees Bay site is right next to Unalaska Bay, the next bay over. And there were two archaeological sites that were excavated in the 1980s and 90s by Doug Veltri and his team. And he partnered back then with the Unalashka Corporation and this community. So there's a lot of community members who have a memory of it from back then. And we were hoping that this project would allow us, as we catalog these artifacts and get them in the right kinds of boxes and bags and put them in our collections for permanent storage, that we would also be able to replicate some of these artifacts and to create a podcast that interviewed community members and participants and even people who use that area today, because this is a big salmon fishing place right now. And it would have also resulted in a publication that would have been able to share all of this prior excavations, current interviews and information. We also had Amphisia Tudyakov consulting with us to be able to update our archaeological understanding of these items with the heritage that it represents, because these are artifacts from an archaeological site that is, of course, Anunga in heritage. So we were really looking forward to having kind of this really robust, updated information about this one spot on this planet. It would have been really wonderful.
Can you tell me how much money was lost with this cut?
The grant total was $348,000, a little over. And we only expended $48,000 so far. And we have only been reimbursed for $33,000 of that $48,000. So we're still hoping that they will pay their bills, for which we were, you know, duly, you know, expending, you know, per the grant agreement. Well, that's a big loss. That's about $40,000 from this year, 50,000, a little bit less than that, for next year. We would have had a full-time person joining our staff to help us with our collections care, particularly with that, those materials, all these artifacts, you know, 80 boxes of artifacts that have to be checked off, rebagged, labeled, you know, all of this kind of work. And then it also would have paid in that second year for a college intern position, a student from high school here, and then our consultants like Anfisia and Lauren Adams would have been helping us. And so I had a lot of reach in that second year. And then the third year, wrapping that up, it was another 121,000. So it was really heartbreaking to make those phone calls and let people know that they couldn't continue this work.
And you mentioned that you're looking for some alternative sources for funding. Can you tell me where you're looking at the moment to try to, you know, bring some of these projects back and keep people on staff?
We applied for a Mellon Foundation grant recently, so we will hear in May. And with that one, because we knew this NEH grant was going to be impacted, and we have a lot of collections that need help, we hope we'll get that. That would be a 2-year grant, and you know, a little bit of funding for a part-time position, about 20 hours a week for 2 years for somebody. So that would help. And then we always get great support from the Elliott Corporation, the Unalashka Corporation, and the city is funds with the community support grant. They fund most of our operations. So that will help us with just getting, you know, keeping the museum open and inviting visitors in, but doesn't get us supplies that we need for collections care. That takes a lot to get here just because of shipping.
And the community support grant presentations are coming up this week. Do you feel that the content of your presentation has changed because of this?
I will mention to City Council that the support right now is really vital. We are more at risk right now because we won't be able to apply for as many grants as we have been. Alaska Humanities Forum, they need support right now. They're mainly funded by National Endowment for the Humanities, and their grants have been cut as well. We would have applied for 2 grants from them this year, one to help us share collections with the community, and another one that would have helped us finish a family mosaics project. And that's another one I was worried about. That was a National Park Service grant that ended last year, and we would like to publish those results. This was a family mosaics, Commander Islands, and the history of the Nunga people there. And we would like to publish that book, but we still need some translation services, and we have run out of money. So I'm not sure where we'll find funding for that. And these special projects are what are going to get cut. But thankfully, because of the city, we will be able to, you know, carry on most of our mission.
Do you think you're going to be relying a lot more on volunteers at this point?
For sure. You know, we will be definitely needing volunteer help with our collections care. If there's anyone who's interested, that would allow us to keep going on this Reese Bay, or the Anunga name for this is Tachi Kala. I'm not sure I'm not saying that right. So this site, if we would love to continue the work that we have. Again, we have 80 boxes, and we did have a student assistant, Huggins Morris, and I think I'll try to keep him on since he's been working about 5 hours every Saturday. So we'll try to keep him working on this project so we can at least, you know, put some of the, you know, slowly work to get this collection back into storage. It might take us more than a year or 2 years, which is what we'd planned for the grant. I think it'll take us more like 5 years because it is a lot, and it's a tedious work to match these artifacts against the record that the excavator sent us and make sure everything is tracked and, you know, we know what shelf it's on, and, you know, take pictures of the really nice items so that we can share that with researchers and visitors and any Indigenous scholars who might want to come in and look at this material. So we will be working on that. Yeah, volunteers welcome. Please come in.
That was Museum of the Aleutians Director Jenny Hatfield speaking with KUCB's Andy Lusk about the collection of a significant grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. This interview and a transcript will be posted online today at kucb.org. State legislators grilled 2 University of Alaska Board of Regents appointees at a Senate Education Committee meeting last week as part of their confirmation process. That's after the board approved a motion to scrub mentions of diversity, equity, and inclusion from university communications in February. As KTOO's Jamie Deep reports, some lawmakers criticized the board's decision.
A February vote from the board to remove mentions of DEI has brought up criticism about the decision itself and the lack of transparency in the process. Anchorage Senator Lukey Tobin criticized the decision during last week's Senate Education meeting. Tobin is a Democrat and is also a PhD student at the University of Alaska Anchorage. She says the board should have heard from the university community before making the decision.
I have had my faith shaken over the last few weeks. It has been deeply shaken. And I know many of my fellow colleagues and fellow students are feeling similar. We are feeling unheard. We are feeling unseen.
The University of Alaska Board of Regents is composed of 11 members. Each regent serves 8-year terms, except for the student regent, who serves for 2 years. Members are appointed by the governor before going through a confirmation process with the legislature. Only one of the two appointees being considered was actually at the meeting. Anchorage-based regent Christine Ressler was appointed for her first term this year. She voted in favor of the motion to scrub DEI mentions from the university.
I stand behind that we were trying to do the right thing, but I also recognize how hard it was for the community.
Senator Jesse Kuehl, a Juneau Democrat, says the decision gives the federal government a lot of power over the university.
It doesn't just say we're going to follow the U.S. Constitution or federal law. It says any guidance, any executive orders or guidance on executive orders that come out of the federal government, anything from the U.S. Department of Education on Maryland Avenue in Washington, D.C., is the law of the University of Alaska system.
Ressler says she's committed to supporting the UA community through any other changes from the federal government.
We are in a very dynamic environment, and I can't predict what's going to happen next or what we're going to be faced with. But what I can tell you is I will make sure the Board of Regents will react to support the students, the faculty, and the alumni of the state and the university system.
Regent Karen Perdue was reappointed this year. She wasn't at the meeting when the board approved the motion, but says that the university needs to maintain a stable environment to face what comes from the federal government.
We see directives coming out sometimes on short notice, but what we can do is we can stick together, talk to each other, and try to figure out how we might react and best adapt to these activities. I value the principles of academic freedom and the right to speak about issues. These are core values of our university.
Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, is the only other senator that questioned the appointees, but he asks about accreditation and research within the system. Ressler and Purdue's confirmations will be heard at the joint legislative session that has yet to be scheduled. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar this week. Community Art Show Planning Roundtable is tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Unalaska Public Library. And the Museum of the Aleutians new exhibit opening will take place Friday evening at 6 o'clock. The new exhibit, Adorning the Aleutians, features artwork by Ununga artists. The opening was rescheduled last week due to a winter storm warning. Also this Friday evening, the Alaska Sea Life Center will host a family-friendly presentation on bioluminescence at the Unalaska Public Library. The program will take place from 6 to 7 in the evening. Children ages 7 and under must be accompanied by an adult. You can find more information on these events and more on the community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Travis Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shipping Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender. The Palouf Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They are also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. There will be a regular meeting of the Borough Assembly on April 10th at 2 p.m. You can tune into that live here on KSDP. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
want different positions to keep your love life successful, and you want a happy ending with lots of stud potential, reliable and perpetual, without being distasteful. Who we? Not the size, no, the way it's looking, it's the way it moves on stiletto shoes. Papa sure improves, but I bet he's just trying to be commercial. Yeah. Now let me say something simple to you before we get to do the do. Baby, I love you. That takes care of that. You can't take off your hat. You and me gotta be the lucky few. There's a tourist in the city, the way that lost his lady. On purpose, if you ask me, I'll have to find a reason to cover up the treason. Meanwhile, let's hope the night never ends. Meanwhile, let's hope the night never ends. 'Cause mad love is coming. Mad love is coming. Mad love is coming.
warning lights are flashing down the quality control. Somebody threw a spanner, they threw him in the hole. There's rumors in the Logan Bay and anger in the town. Somebody blew the whistle and the walls came down. There's a meeting in the boardroom, they're trying to trace the smell. There's a leaking in the washroom, there's a sneaking personnel. Somewhere in the corridor, someone was heard to sneeze. Goodness me, could this be industrial disease? Caretaker was crucified for sleeping in his post. Refusing to be pacified, it's him they blame the most. Watchdog or rabies, the foreman got a police. Everyone concerned about industrial disease. There's panic on the switchboard, tongues and knots. Some come out in sympathy, some come out in spots. Some blame the management, some the employees. Everybody knows it's the industrial disease. Parkinson declared, I'm not surprised to see you here. You've got smoker's cough from smoking, brewer's droop from drinking beer. I don't know how you came to get the Betty Davis knees, but worst of all, young man, you've got industrial disease. He wrote me a prescription, he said, you are depressed. I'm glad you came to see me to get this off your chest. Come back and see me later. Next patient, please. Send in another victim on industrial disease.
KSDP Radio, 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
that girl or an aeroplane. I ain't got time to tell no faster. All the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Oh, my baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how much I got to scan now. Oh, I'm going to find my way back home again. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Yeah, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Ah! stupid game is about to end. You played it out, thought you had it made. And it looks like someone passed you by again. Standing in her corner, she told me she was trying to find a way. I got to leave before I get my shoulder, 'cause she ain't moved in nearly 40 days. Time and she ain't so cruel. I got someone to take you over. Your mother ain't so bad. What happened to you?
Make it, baby. You can't say I didn't try.